Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Please explain where the faith-only doctrine comes from and how do we defeat it. Those of the Protestant Reformation movement struggled with faith and works. One man that is noted time and time again is Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a big proponent of faith without works. And what he means by that is that all an individual needs to do is to accept Jesus Christ into their heart, and hence, as is modernly taught amongst many religionists, is that they need to say some sort of a sinner's prayer, and then that they will be saved of their sins. Friends, in that, Martin Luther himself said that when it comes to the book of James, he says that James chapter 2, verses 14 through 24, proves to be quite strong epistle. Why? Because James 2, verses 14 through 24, refutes this faith-only doctrine. And therefore, he said that man ought to do away with the book of James, is that it does not fit the context of what true Scripture is. Well, if our doctrine does not line up with what the Scripture teaches, it doesn't mean that we rip part of the Bible out, or that we say we're not going to buy into that part of it. What it means is that we need to re-examine our doctrine. Amen? And Martin Luther was hesitant to do that, as well as John Calvin and many others of the Protestant Reformation movement. A passage often used or employed to support the idea of Paul is Paul's statement to the saints at Rome in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. Here's what that passage says. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, if you take that context there within itself, just verse 10, what does it sound like? You believe in your heart and you confess. Well, what is that confession? In part, they say that this is where the sinner's prayer come in, and therefore that this is authorization for this faith-only doctrine. Friends, that's not at all what's under consideration here. Take in mind Acts chapter 8, verse 37 and following. I think that we have an explanation in Acts chapter 8 concerning what Paul is stated here in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. What is it that he said again? For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. Now go to Acts chapter 8, verse 37 and following. Philip has taught the Ethiopian eunuch, and he taught him what? He spoke to him about Jesus Christ our Lord. And as he's taught him about Christ, evidently he spoke to him concerning baptism, the need to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Why do I say that? Because as they went on their way, the eunuch said unto Philip, see, here's water. What hinders me or what keeps me from being baptized? And here's what Philip said to him. If you believe with all of your heart, what is it that Paul said? For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. What is it that Philip said? He said, if you believe with all of your heart. That's where it begins, isn't it? It begins in the heart. And then what? And then he says, believe with your heart, and then confession is made unto salvation. What is it then that Philip told the Ethiopian eunuch to do? He says, after he says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both he and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. He confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God. That's that confession made unto salvation, and he was baptized. Baptism is what puts one into our Lord. Jesus' explicit commandments in the Great Commission are unavoidable. What is it that Jesus said is essential for one to be saved? Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be condemned. God identifies through the words of our Lord is that those who believe will indeed follow through with being baptized. Why? Because they believe with their heart. And hence that heart then leads them to do what God commands man to do in order to be saved.